Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Irish On Tap, a podcast about the Notre Dame Fighting Irish presented to you by On Tap Sportsnet. I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. You can follow me on Twitter at BDon300, and you can follow our main account at On Tap Irish. Today, going to be taking a little bit of a look back at last weekend's victory over Navy, 35-32 in our favor. And then a little bit on the backside of the show, we're going to be talking about this weekend's matchup against Boston College. A lot of stuff to get to, but this past weekend, Notre Dame traveled to Baltimore. Neutral site game, they played with Baltimore Ravens play, and you couldn't have written a better first half, right? Notre Dame finds 35 points. You're getting points in a hurry, and, I mean, Braden Lindsey made arguably the catch of the year, like everybody was eating that day. If I pull up the stats right now, they held us on the ground. We didn't even get 100 yards. This was a game that Drew Pine had 5 touchdowns in, right? And Jaden Thomas had one. Lindsey had one. Estime had one. Tyree had one. And then Drew Pine ran one in. All 5 touchdowns in the first half, Drew Pine had his hands on. And, I mean, looking at the numbers, seeing that they only averaged 1.9 yards a carry, no wonder why we weren't able to put this game away, right? Because picture perfect first half, you're up 35, you know, or well, you got 35 and you're up at least a couple scores. And Navy battles back to the point to where they have an onside kick with an opportunity to either tie or win the game. So at the half, yeah, it was 35-13. Couldn't remember if it was 17 or 21, but Navy goes on a 19-0 run in the second half. We actually don't score at all in the second half. No field goals, no touchdowns, none of that. Literally just the most putrid offensive performance. And I saw some tweets from like Pete Sampson and some of the reporters that were at the game, and it was just like 3-0, 3-0, 3-0. They had like 25 total yards in the second half. And for a team that is able to run the football so well in the first 3 quarters of the game, and maybe not that much on Saturday, but damn near every single game that we go into, we're able to get like 100 to 200 yards on the ground. And that's just like, we get off the bus and we already got it. It just doesn't, you know, it just depends on like who's getting the carries to get us there. But no matter what, week in and week out, whether it's been Estime, whether it's been Chris Tyree, whether it's been Logan Diggs, as we've seen over the last few weeks, these guys have been able to run the football, and the offensive line has been able to diagram and block it up the right way. For whatever reason, didn't happen. And when you're trying to put away a game, I think you need to be able to run the football. Obviously, it's nice to be able to have a couple different backs, but it just wasn't working in the second half. And the throwing game, I mean, for as great as Drew Pine looked in the first half of that game, in the second half, totally different guy out there. And it was noticeable. I mean, ND Twitter was kind of losing their mind about it. And I don't know, it is what it is. Like, the kid, 5 fucking touchdowns in the first half. Like, yeah, if he doesn't have a great second half, you don't throw the whole game away in my eyes. I don't know. But Drew Pine, we knew what we were getting when we got Drew Pine to be the starter. This is a guy that's been a backup his whole time at Notre Dame. He's never had the opportunity to be that guy. So you knew there was going to be a little bit of a learning curve. And then on top of that, he's not the most physically imposing quarterback. He's not a guy with 4.4 speed or an arm that will, you know, is like a bazooka. You know, he doesn't have the best arm. He has a decent arm. He can hit the short stuff. And the pass to Lindsey was probably like just equally as good of a throw as it was a catch, just to make that play happen. You know what I'm saying? Even though it was pinned on his back, but that was quite literally, by definition, only a pass that Braden Lindsey could have caught. Unless this guy can wrap his arms around his back and catch it backwards, like that was a pass that was only getting caught by Braden Lindsey. It was a wild, wild play. And it was good to see Braden Lindsey get involved. We've talked about all season how the receivers haven't really had that much of an impact, and the passing game really has boiled down to Chris Tyree and then Michael Meyer. But on 17 attempts, so the distribution chart, if you will. So 3 of them went to Jaden Thomas, 5 went to Braden Lindsey, 2 went to Deion Colsey, 1 to Estime, which was I think that was the first touchdown of the game, or I know that was 1 in the first quarter. Estime caught a third or 30 yarder. It was really just him catching the ball at the line and then just being Audric Estime for the other 29 yards. And then Michael Meyer, 3 catches, Styles 2, and Chris Tyree 1. And, you know, on the day, his numbers, he had 95 QBR, 17 to 21, 269 yards, 4 touchdowns, and a pick. I mean, it's winning football in the first half, very much so. Second half, it's almost like, how the hell did we just get 5 touchdowns out of this kid in the first half, you know? So, it is what it is. I think that Boston College is another team that we should have every opportunity to put it on them. And it's a home game, you know. And even if Phil plays, I don't think Phil can be saved. Like, our defensive line is going to get after him. But on the defensive side of the ball, obviously you don't really want to allow 32 points to Navy. They're not a team that we really thought coming into this game that they'd be able to put up 32. I thought max that would be like 17 or 21. But I did call, or say at least, on the pregame show that Maurice LaFau was going to have a good game, and he answered. He had 8 total tackles. Jack Kaiser, another guy, 8 total. Prince Colley, who, if you guys remember, had a touchdown 2 weeks ago against Clemson to get the game started, has really, really come on strong. He had 7 and then a sack, or a half a sack. And then the Adam Alola brothers combined for 10 total tackles, which, like, can't go wrong there. Bosky, a little bit of a lower volume day, but still 3 tackles on the day. And the lead was actually converted wide receiver Xavier Watts. 8 total, 7 solo. But from a Navy standpoint, like I said, coming into this game, you would probably see them throw the ball maybe 10 to 15 times. They threw it 13 times, and both quarterbacks were about 50% on their passes, 57 yards for Arline and 51 for Maynard. And then they both had a touchdown. And then on the ground, which, you know, is the staple of any Navy game that you're going to play against them, we got absolutely shit-pumped. You know, you don't want to let a team come and dictate the line of scrimmage and be able to get blockers to the next level to your linebackers and stuff, but we were not able to stop the Navy offense. And they finished the day with 46 carries for 255 yards and 2 touchdowns. Almost 200 more yards than what we were able to account for on the ground. So just overall, a really strange game. The highest of highs in the first half and then the lowest of lows in the second half, where we're like, wow, we're really about to lose this fucking game. And the boys were able to hold on. Before the game on this show, I said that I love the over. I love the team total. Don't like the Notre Dame spread. Both the over and the team total hit in the first half. And Notre Dame looked like they may have, you know, they covered their first half spread because I had it in a parlay. I know that. But, yeah, I don't know. Navy's one of those weird teams. But I did know coming into this game that it was going to be hard for them to not let us get, like, 30 points. So you're able to get 35 in the first half. I'd like to see you get 50 for the game. So it was a little bit of a disappointing performance in that aspect. But got to be happy with a dub. 7-3 on the year. The rest of the season is as follows. This week at home, like I said, Boston College, and then next week, the 26th, at USC. And USC is 7th in the nation right now. And what an opportunity that will be to maybe keep another team out of the college football playoff. But for my players of the game for this past week against Navy, on the offensive side of the ball, it's gonna probably piss people off, but from what we saw from the first half from Drew Pine, if we can just get like half of that for the rest of the season, I have little doubts that we won't at least have a great opportunity to win 10 games, right? We can get first half Drew Pine, right? Second half, not so much. But for whatever reason, college football has been weird in a sense that, I don't know, there hasn't really been as many blowouts as there normally is. Like, we're looking at a lot of one score get, like, on our schedule, 2 scores Ohio State, 1 score Marshall, 1 score Cali, 2 scores North Carolina, 1 score in the BYU game, 1 score in the Stanford game, and then We actually had our biggest three margins the 3 weeks before Navy, with 23 against UNLV, 17 against Syracuse, and then 21 against Clemson. So eventually you had to figure there was going to be some drop off. You just don't want to see it the way it happened in the second half. On the defensive side of the ball, though, I got to go Jack Kaiser. Jack Kaiser is a guy that he may not possess the physical, attributes that you necessarily want to see from a linebacker, but that's a guy that shows up, goes to work, he does his thing, and he was able to finish last week or last yeah last weekend's game with eight tackles. So hats off to him. Obviously, it's a tough a go of things, if you will, going up against a read option offense or a triple option offense, and for them to, I guess, limit the damage in the first half to the point where they were able to have just enough points to hold them off in the second half comes down to linebacker play and the front seven. But Kaiser, just based off numbers alone and just kind of what I was looking at when I was watching the game, because I was watching this one at work. God bless my work for allowing me to just bring my laptop in while I'm also, I guess I wasn't calling a game, but I was producing for like two games at the same time. So I just had the ND game on like mute as I was listening to both my games. So yeah, was able to watch this one in its entirety. And yeah, I mean, defensively in the first half, things looked really well. But second half, as a team, we weren't playing good complementary football. That's the way I like to look at it. Okay. We also missed a kick on Saturday, which is something that you don't want to see happen as we get to the end of the season. Points are at a premium, especially in this USC game, and then whatever bowl game we get. I absolutely am treating that bowl game, regardless of what bowl game it is, as the Super Bowl, because, and that's why I want it to be a New Year's Six. I really, really hope that it's a New Year's Six, because we're up to 18th in the rankings. Okay, so if I look at who's ahead of us, I look at who's ahead of us, and we'll see what's going on with some of these teams, because obviously, there's going to be teams that end up losing, but. So yeah, the college football playoff ranking. So right now, 1 through 4 is Georgia, OSU, Michigan, TCU. 5 through 10 is Tennessee, LSU, USC, Alabama, Clemson, and Utah. And then this is like the group right here of teams that we could potentially overthrow based off results in these final few weeks. So Washington had a huge win last week against Oregon. That moved them up 8 spots. They're currently 17. We're sitting at 18. UCLA, who still plays USC, is number 16, and they just lost last week to Arizona. Ole Miss, 14. UNC, 13. Oregon, 12. And Penn State at 11. So honestly, most of those teams are probably better than us. Like, I'd say that we would probably lose to Oregon. We beat UNC, so we're better than them in my eyes, beating by 2 touchdowns. Ole Miss would be a tough game, but I think we could probably hang with them. UCLA, great offensive team, not really great on defense, so that would be an interesting one. Washington, kind of a wild card team. I feel like they've lost more than the two games that they've actually lost on their schedule. And then, yeah, like, I don't know. Oregon would be a weird one, I think. But I don't know. Those Pac-12 teams are weird. I guess we'll find out where we measure up against the Pac-12 when we play USC in the final game of the season. But enough of that. Let's get into Boston College. It's at Notre Dame this weekend. It's a home game. There's going to be snow on the ground. I saw the pictures already of Notre Dame Stadium, and it looked like it's a nice little winter wonderland out there. But yeah, so 1:30 Central Time, 2:30 Eastern Time, NBC. We're back on our channel this week. We're back at home, and it's Senior Day. So last home game of the season. I'm sure everybody that watches college football is obviously aware of Senior Day, and that's always one of those games that you absolutely have to have. You have to win it for your guys, for your brothers, and you want to see this team go out there and have a dominating performance, right? Like, it's Boston College. It's a team that we have played for many, many years, and they're having a down season, but you already know that they're going to throw the kitchen sink at Notre Dame. Going into this game, the over under is 43. Notre Dame is favored by 3 touchdowns, and They have a 93% chance to win. Now, from an offensive standpoint, Phil Jurkovec, former Notre Dame quarterback, was the starting quarterback at the beginning of the season, but I'm almost positive he has been hurt quite a few games. They do have a backup by the name of Emmett Moorhead. And let's see. So he last played the 12th against North Carolina State. And Phil last played, oh, yeah, the 29th against Connecticut. So, yeah, I don't know. I wonder if he's available for this game. Let me do a quick Twitter search of his name. Yeah, it says Hafley said Phil Jurkovec is simultaneously in the concussion protocol and dealing with a right knee injury, an injury in the back of his rib. This isn't like Phil's not playing because he doesn't want to play. Yeah, no, Phil Jurkovec is legitimately like getting smoked out there, it looks like at Boston College. But yeah, Holy War Week is what college football watcher said. It's officially Holy War Week with Marcus Freeman takes on Fredo for the first time. I'm dead. Yeah, it's a game that we grew up watching. We've been playing Boston College for our whole lives. You got to go out there and beat BC. I was out there. That's actually ironically, the game that me and my former co-host Ethan, we met Phil Jurkovec after the game. And that was when Boston College had AJ Dillon. So, good game, nonetheless. I'm pretty sure we won that game like 42 to 14. And there's no reason why we can't win this game big. The only thing that I'm concerned about is the weather. There's a lot of snow on the ground in South Bend. Who knows what it's going to look like on Saturday, if it's going to snow anymore, if they're going to, be able to. I'm sure they're going to get as much of that off as they can. But maybe our defensive backs and D linemen come out shirtless like they did a few years back against Florida State. Who knows? But it's going to be interesting to see how we bounce back after a game that we probably should have won by a lot more and in more convincing fashion, and bounce back and play against another team that we're heavy favorites against. We should go out there and handle them. The game should be out of reach by halftime, kind of like what seemed to be last week's game against Navy, and then we found out we couldn't score anymore for the rest of the game. So we'll see what happens. But I think that Boston College is a team that has been offensively challenged for a majority of this season. If I pull up their schedule real quick, they are 3-7 on the year. And those wins came against Maine FCS program. They beat Louisville, which is nuts. Malik Cunningham must have not played that game. Oh, I guess he did, but it looked like he got hurt in that game. They beat NC State. Like, they're the weirdest team in college football. Their losses include Rutgers, Virginia Tech, Florida State, Clemson, Wake Forest. Fucking lost to UConn, which is hilarious, but UConn's a bowl eligible team, so I can't even laugh this year. And then they lost to Duke too. So, weird team. Highest point total on the year for them is 38. They've scored 30 twice this season, or three times. And they were able to win against NC State with only 21. Some of their losses that, they only had 3 points in two separate games this year, against Boston College, or against Clemson and against UConn. But yeah, not like a great scoring team by any metric, and on the season they average only 19 points a game. So I know I just went through a lot of numbers for no reason when I could have easily just pulled up and said that they just suck because they don't even score 20 points a game. But they give up 28.8, giving up about 367 yards on the defensive side of the ball and accounting for 321 on the offensive side of the ball. So a team that we got better recruits than, we have a better coach. We have all the momentum. We're at home. It's senior day. There is zero excuse to allow them to hang around the way we let Navy hang around last week. And on the offensive side of the ball for us, I look for a big performance out of the running backs. You talk about the running backs only accounting for 66 yards in last week's game, and that is as a group. Usually those guys have more than 66 yards apiece if not multiple of them, have more than 66 yards apiece, you know? So we'll be interested to see how they're able to bounce back in a game, like I said, that they should have every right to win. So on the offensive side of the ball, the key to victory in my eyes, right, especially in a bad weather game and a snow game, you want to have good offensive line play. You want to be able to play good defense, and you want to be able to run the football. If we can do those three things, I don't think that this game's going to be particularly close. Drew Pine probably not going to be expected to throw the ball that often. If I pull up the weather report just to kind of see what South Bend will be dealing with here on Saturday, because we're only about 2 days out. So Saturday, 50% snow. Friday, 50% snow. Both days, 30, 28 degrees. So, and it's snowing out there right now. And we're coming to you live Thursday night. So, yeah, not great. Definitely going to be a old school football game. I just went to one of those last night at NIU. And we saw one also with Central Michigan and Western Michigan. Those guys were playing in pretty hefty snow. And I even saw just this afternoon that the Bills game got moved to Ford Field in Detroit because there's going to be 6 feet of snow in Buffalo on Sunday. And yeah, like there's quite a few players on both teams that aren't even 6 feet tall. So I don't know how that would work out. But for us, as it pertains to Notre Dame, it's going to snow a little bit for the next few days, and it's probably going to snow out there on Saturday. That's it. Simple. Run the football, play good defense, and block it up well. It's going to be a battle of the big hogs in the trenches. And, after a week that we saw five touchdowns from Drew Pine, we might see less than 20 pass attempts, depending on what the weather's like. And I think that we have a defense that's good enough to limit this Boston College team, no matter which way the scenario shakes out, for them to be right around their average. I think maximum points I'm willing to, be okay with them allowing is 21. And I still think that is like an incredible stretch for them to even score. If I had to look up where they're at on the books, it's probably like 14 and a half total points for this game. Probably even less than that now that I think about it, because we're 21-point favorites to begin with. Let me check. So yeah, the over under is 43. Their team total for this game is 11 and a half. Yeah, so I set the bar way too high. I think they'll fall somewhere between 11 and 21. So maybe like a 17-point output. Maybe they put up 14, but I do think that our defense is significantly better than them. So we'll see what happens out there on Saturday, but offensively, need to be able to control the line of scrimmage, need to be able to run the football. Drew Pine needs to be able to protect the football. And let's honestly have long, sustained drives. Let's hold on to the football, make them try to dispossess us in a way. If we can hold on to the football and finish drives, 28 points is a million to this team. There's no way they're going to win a game where they give up 28 points against us. I just don't see it. But on the defensive side of the ball, obviously not going to see Phil Dracovic, so we'll see Moorhead. This is a team that, like I said, not really the best offensive team, but they do have some good pieces on there, some talented wide receivers. Zay Flowers, to name one. I know that's a guy that they like getting the ball early and often too on the season so far. I mean, these are great numbers. 67 receptions, 921 yards, 10 touchdowns. Let's keep that guy under 1,000 yards and maybe get in the last week of the season, but most definitely not against us. And then running the football, not so much success for BC, but their leading rusher on the season only has 296 yards, and that is Pat Garwo, the third, 5'8", 208. Their other backs include Alex Broom, 5'8", 185, and then Xavier Coleman, 5'7", 179. The last two guys were freshmen, and the Garwo is a junior. So our team that probably not going to be able to run too well on us. They only average 61 yards on the ground, and if they're coming into South Bend only averaging 61, I can imagine that we're probably going to limit them to a very low output on the ground. But I would like to say that this game probably goes over. I think there might be more than 43 points in this game, depending on what Boston College is able to do. But even if they score 10, I still don't see it. Like, we're probably going to land somewhere between 28 and 35 points again this week. Boston College doesn't play defense. They don't have the same level of athletes that we do, and it'll be interesting to see how they're able to try and stop our offensive attack. But yeah, for score prediction, I gotta put a number on it. I will say 35 to 10. I think we're still hungry on the offensive side of the ball. We're gonna be really trying to get things on track for USC and for the bowl game, and especially after not being, able to score in the second half last week. They're gonna look to try and get as many points as they can. Again, it's a rivalry game. It's senior day. Might see, some of those end of the roster guys that don't really get too much playing time get their little Rudy moment. As someone who's been there for senior day, it's honestly a great atmosphere. The last time I was there for senior day, it was the year that Chris Finke graduated. I want to say I got there like right as they were announcing his name. And it was honestly just like, as someone who saw him as a walk-on, someone who grew into a starting wide receiver at Notre Dame, and then now is even kind of bouncing around the NFL, you just always remember those moments. And you remember, the first time you see them in like their freshman or sophomore year. And then after that, kind of figuring out what type of player they'd be. And then hopefully, a lot of times we're lucky enough to see them get drafted into the NFL and have longer careers, and we're able to watch them play more football. But when you're able to see the last game that someone's able to play in a stadium, at any institution, it's always going to be something that you'll remember. And I think that it's probably not like a huge senior class this year, but it's something that you cannot leave South Bend on Saturday without a win for those guys, especially considering, what they've been through this season. Starting the season 0-2, reeling off, 3 wins, and then losing a stinker to Stanford, and then getting another 4 wins right out the gates. It's been a wild season, but there's still a lot of stuff out there for the taking for Notre Dame. Can still get to 10 wins, can still somehow get close to being a top 10 team. I don't know if they'll actually crack the top 10. It'd be interesting to see, what 10 wins would do. I think if you get to 10 wins, you deserve to be in the top 10, but we'll see how stuff shakes out ahead of them. I personally think that 35-10 is a good score prediction for this one. Offensively, if I had to pick one back that I want to pick for to have a big game in this spot, I think this is like the perfect weather for an Audric Estime game. Audric Estime, big back, someone that is hard to bring down, someone that has really grown into this offense and their confidence has really been building. And I think I'll say Estime will have over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. On the defensive side of the ball, I will say that for this game, I'm gonna look on the defensive line. I think that you need a strong performance, like I said, from the front seven in a game where, they're gonna be playing in quite a few inches of snow. It's not gonna be very nice weather out there, but luckily both these teams are cold weather teams that are used to playing in these conditions. I look forward to seeing how we're able to get acclimated to the game when the game gets going. I'd like to be able to see them probably take like a 1 or 2 possession lead going into the half. But if we can have around 21 points at halftime, I would say, I think we're in a good position and in the driver's seat to go ahead and win this game. You got to play 4 quarters, though. Last week, they did not play 4 quarters of football, and we definitely saw what the outcome could have been. We almost lost the game. So you have to play 4 quarters. And if I had to pinpoint someone on that defensive line, I'll go with the Atamalola brothers. Why not? Why not them? Give the Atamalola brothers the key players to this game, clogging things up on that front line, making things difficult. And I'll say that they'll have another 10 tackle game as a duo.
The brothers combine in four of the 10 tackles as a team. Why not? So that being said, I got 35-10 Notre Dame. On the offensive side of the ball, like I said, Audric Estime, over 100 yards, two touchdowns. And then on the defensive side of the ball, we'll go with the Ademola brothers. 10-plus tackles as a unit. And maybe they'll cause a turnover. It'd be nice to see them cause a turnover. So we'll see what happens out there on Saturday. Win, lose, or draw, we'll be with you guys on the other side to break down what happens. Hopefully it's another Notre Dame win. And what better performance than a win to send your seniors off right before you head into a top 25 versus top 25 game to close the season out. It's one of those situations where you're like, why not us? We have an opportunity to really right the wrongs of what happened earlier in our season with the losses against Marshall and Stanford by taking out two quality teams in Clemson and in USC. So the job's not done yet. Hopefully they can find a way to get to 10 wins. We'll see what ends up happening. But with that being said, this was another episode of Irish on Tap presented to you by On Tap Sportsnet. I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. You can follow me on Twitter at BDon300, and you can follow our main account at On Tap Irish. We'll be back with you guys on the other side of this game to recap what happens out there this Saturday against Boston College, and then we'll also get you guys ready for the huge matchup against USC on the road. Hopefully they don't get popped off against UCLA and they're still a top 10 team. So we're rooting for UCLA this week to beat, or we're rooting for USC to beat UCLA this week, and then we're going to beat USC next week. We're going to find a way to beat Boston College this week. But with that being said, we really do appreciate you for listening to this week's show. We'll be back with you guys on the other side, and go Irish.